So you all have gotten your pledge envelope in the mail, right? Got it? Okay, good. So I want to talk today, given that we've launched our pledge campaign for this year, about money, giving money. So this is a stewardship sermon, and I'm using that word very intentionally, stewardship. It's not one that is currently used commonly to talk about what we do, but it is the word that sets us on a sure foundation, one that the prophets and Jesus were built on. Stewardship starts with the premise that we don't own anything. We are not the kings and queens of our own lives. We are stewards, that everything is given, and everything is received, given by God, and that we are stewards. We get to help move it around. We get to move the pieces of the resources around, that justice making that we were talking about last week, where in Scripture it's about moving abundance from where it's concentrated to flow to where it's needed. So I want to do that through the lens of the Scriptures we're given this week, which are brilliant, to the point, and to start with 1 Kings, this extraordinary story in famine time. The great prophet Elijah coming to the gates of the city, don't miss that detail, justice at the gates that we talked about last week, to find a destitute widow, gathering sticks to bake a last meal with the last amount of oil and bread before she dies with her son. A lot of drama there in that story. And Elijah says, before you do that, make me a cake. It almost seems cruel, doesn't it, in a way, to say, do that before you feed yourself, your last meal? But there's a code here that its hearers would have heard immediately, because this is mapping right to the core of the core of Israel's creed, most ancient creed and most ancient ritual, which is found in the book of Deuteronomy. So I want to actually point that way because it makes sense of all this. Elijah's pointing to this harvest festival that is still celebrated among the observant Jews called Sukkot. It is the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest. It is a ritual of gathering in the first bit of grain and taking a percentage of that, a proportional amount of the harvest, and giving it to God, taking it to the tabernacle. When that happens, there's a ritual that goes with it. The creed in the ritual, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but it's a beautiful piece of poetry that people recite, "A wandering Aramean was my father Abraham. We went down few in number to Egypt, and there we grew into a great nation. But we were cruelly oppressed by our taskmasters, and the Lord delivered us." And it talks through this whole narrative of who we are. It all is dependent, or is framed around, dependence on God and sustenance by God. Don't forget this. If you forget this, you forgot who you are, and nothing will make sense. And the ritual that goes along with this creed, I want to read verbatim from Deuteronomy. "When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you and you settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose. You shall make this response to the Lord, 'A wandering Aramean was my father.'" The gift goes first. God comes first. Not because God gets angry when God isn't made first, but because of our hearts. There's this risk and promise that if you give it away, something, it will come back in spades. The oil won't run out for the whole family. That's a big bet to make. This is also why Jesus is attacking the religious rulers who are wearing the fine robes and having the best seats in the synagogue. says, you have completely perverted this thing that is so transformative at the center of community, God's justice. He points to a widow who's putting her 2 copper coins in the treasury. We often take that as a commendation of Jesus for her generosity. It's actually exactly the opposite. She has been incredibly reckless. As a widow, she is the most insecure person in the society. There is no safety net. Now she is guaranteed to fall through it. She's doing what she's doing out of duty because it's a temple tax. It's kind of enforced stewardship. To clothe those priests in their long robes, in their trickle-up economy. This is not how it is supposed to work. It should be going to the widows, not being extracted from them. Jesus is saying you've completely broken this. So, priests especially need help in figuring this one out. In long robes and the best seats. So I want to talk personally now about how I came to change my practices of giving and how it changed my life. And I sound like a Baptist preacher here, how it can change yours too. So it's an invitation. And I'm still in the way. This is, you know, don't have this figured out. I'll start by saying I have not felt generous for most of my life. I've always felt like I wasn't giving enough. And frankly, I'm a pretty stingy person. My ancestors on both sides came over as destitute immigrants, and so frugality is just baked into our hardwiring. But a few years ago, I decided to try to do it differently. I can't remember who I heard that inspired me with this, and said, all right, I'm just going to do this tithing thing. That's what this proportional giving is called in Scripture. Episcopalians call it proportional giving. This saying, this is actually really easy. What's the percentage of my gross income that I want to give away? That was the secret for me. It wasn't about giving it to the church or giving it to the symphony or giving it to the person on the street. It was to say, no, let's just start with giving it away, not mine. And that was one of the great transformations, is by just saying, this is not mine, the stewardship thing. It made it like monopoly money. Suddenly, I had all this money to give away. You know, to just figure it out. Where am I going to give it? Completely changed the dynamic. The other thing I did that was transformational, I don't think, maybe I made this one up myself, but I decided to only give 50% of my tithe to my local faith community, the church. But I did that with an intention, as a church leader, saying, okay, I'm going to give 50% to the church, and then I have 50% to give anywhere I want, any way I want. So it kept my discretion and freedom. So what that did is, because I didn't want to give my church less, I kind of upped that percentage, said, all right, 10% is what it's going to be, and then had that much more money to give away. The other thing I did is just like front-loaded it, said, that's called auto-pay, you know, it's like, otherwise I'm just going to pull it all back. That combination of making it not ours, recognizing stewardship, and helping it flow beyond just the local circle, further out, is transformational. In this ancient ritual of 3,000 years old, just by the way, where all those gifts went was a redistribution back into the poor, the people who needed it, and a big party that everybody threw for themselves. That's how God claimed the blessing, to give it all back, saying, this is how it works. So I commend that to you, if you're not already doing it. Maybe you already are. To start the year saying, don't think about St. Paul's. Just think about what you want to give away, not yours. None of it's ours. All of us in the West can afford, over time, we've got to work ourselves to this, but to live on a little bit less. If you look at our footprint worldwide, we're kind of out of balance. We're wearing those rich long robes. So what does that look like? To start to say, okay, I can give some more away. Then we can sit down and say, okay, what am I going to give to St. Paul's, my local faith community? And I would make the argument that it's good to be generous there too, even if you don't like what's going on. You have a stake. It gives you a stake. It's not about the amount, it's about the proportion. All in, you know, that is going to make a difference in how we are with one another if we are proportionally invested. And then there's still this giveaway, anywhere you want. And what we're doing individually, we can practice collectively as well. That's where it gets even more fun. And I will make this challenge to the leadership of St. Paul's, that in some budget year, as we continue to talk together, we do the same thing. We say, let's give away a percentage of what we take in. And say, this is to give away, not just cycle into some ministry we call ours, but to just give to a partner locally, which gives us a stake with them. And then half of it to give further afield, which keeps our vision broad. This is transformational. And the great thing about it is what happens is you kind of want to keep the next year saying, can I raise that another percent? Can I raise that another percent? And thank God there are people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett who have said, by the end of my life, I really need to just give it all away. They can do that. They are the ones who should be, not the widows. So we're somewhere in between. And again, the point is not 10%, 3%, 5%. It's just pick a percent. And as I say in retreats, you know, go for the stretch. Don't break something. That means it's not out of our poverty. It's out of our abundance. But where's the stretch that doesn't break us? That's what Jesus is inviting us into. And that is how we will discover in real time, real experience, how there is enough and more than enough. The bread